Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Matthew 25:23. I am Rob West. Christians are called to be faithful stewards of God's resources. When we do that, we leave a legacy for generations. Today, I'll talk with Tom Conway about what that means and how you do it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I'm excited to have my good friend Tom Conway on the program today. Tom is a CPA by training, a certified kingdom advisor, and a founder of Legacy by Design. Tom, it's a joy to have you in the studio today.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here.
Tom, I think we all leave a legacy to our children and grandchildren, whether we know it or not, but there are actually three kinds of legacies that you teach about, and I'd love for you to unpack that for our audience today.
Yeah, I think I originally thought there were only two, the kind of the one you received, which you did or didn't have any control over.
Okay.
And for some people, it was a great legacy, and for others, it was a very difficult one. And then there's the one that you leave. But over time, I've come to realize there's a third one, and that's the one that you're leaving every day. People are watching you. You know, if you're at home with your family, your kids are watching you. And you can say one thing, but they're watching what you do with your time, with your resources. And that is part of the legacy that they're going to remember at some point based upon your life.
Yeah, that's really important. The legacy you received, the one you will leave, but then the one you're leaving every day, which requires us to live intentional lives. Now, Tom, getting to your work, you help families plan their legacy. And this, of course, isn't a one-size-fits-all process, is it?
Right. No, every family is unique. And one of the things I seek to do is just to get to know the family, not just mom and dad, because they generally are the people that I work with initially, but I often ask for the permission to get to meet their kids and interview their kids. And that gives me a whole lot more insight into how to help the whole family.
I imagine it does. So for our audience today, how do you help families prepare a legacy? What does that look like?
Well, I think it all starts with questions, Rob. It's just, especially with a family, you're wanting to know what are their desires, what are their hopes and dreams for their kids. And in the work that I do, I'm really asking them about five areas of their legacy.
Okay.
What is their personal legacy? What do they want to be remembered for? The second is their family legacy, and that's where we talk about their kids, their grandkids, their parents, if they're still alive. The third is their financial legacy or their wealth transfer. What kind of an inheritance do you want to leave to your children that's going to be a blessing and not a curse? Because as you know, too much money in the hands of the wrong people can not be helpful.
That's right.
But can be very detrimental. And the fourth is their business legacy. If they're business owners, you know, what are you going to do with your business when you're gone? Are there family members that want to be involved in it? How do you plan to exit it at some point? And then lastly, and really importantly, as well as your charitable legacy, what are you doing currently to impact the lives of others through your charitable giving? And then what do you want to do at the end of life to bless the kingdom of God?
Wow, that's powerful, Tom. And I suspect for most families, they haven't thought about their legacy in quite this way, either under these various headings or with the intentionality you're bringing to the process, right?
Yeah, and I think sometimes people think that legacy is all about money, especially
yes.
Here we're talking about money. So people are thinking, yeah, well, that's all it is. It's all about how much money am I going to leave and how am I going to leave it and to whom am I going to leave it? But it's really much more than that. It does include money, but it's really not about money. Probably the most significant legacy you're going to leave is not about money. It's about your faith. It's about your values, your character, the memories you leave with your kids. So I think sometimes I just want to get people away from thinking only about the money part and think about the other parts.
Oh, that's powerful, Tom. Well, obviously, we've just gotten started today. There's a lot more to talk about. We're going to continue this with Tom Conway today to talk about leaving a family legacy. What should the goal be for your family as you think about legacy? What is it you should desire to achieve in this process? And where do folks get it wrong? Tom Conway is with us today. He's a legacy planner, a certified kingdom advisor, and today helping us to think about leaving a godly legacy. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. One thing I enjoy about springtime is the sun coming up earlier in the day, peeking through the blinds. Yes, it forces me to get out of bed, but a spiritual truth comes to mind. Every day we deal with the frustrations of sin. Even at our best, we still wrestle with sin. But the sun in the morning tells me that it's not the end of my story. The author of Lamentations was reflecting on this. If we are so sinful, and we are, why doesn't the Lord's justice consume us? Lamentations 3:22-23, saying, "For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." When you see the sun come up, remember this is a new day to experience God's grace. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Today I'm talking to my friend Tom Conway. He's the founder of Legacy by Design. He's a certified kingdom advisor, and he really specializes in helping families leave a lasting legacy. And that's more than financial. As he said before the break, that's your personal legacy, your family legacy, your business legacy, if you're a business owner, and your kingdom or charitable legacy. And that's all in addition to your financial legacy. And Tom, just before the break, you were walking us through how we should think about that. What goals perhaps should guide us as we think about the legacy we want to leave?
Well, I think number one should be, what do you think God wants you to do in this situation? I often encourage people with the idea that I have two goals for you. One is that you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at the end of life, because there is going to be a final exam for every one of us. We're going to stand in God's presence. He's going to say, "What'd you do with what I gave you?"
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to answer that. But then secondly, I love what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. He says, "We acknowledge him, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that God has works throughout me. So the whole idea is to present people mature in Christ. So the question is, how am I doing personally in growing in my own maturity? But then also, how are my children doing? And what can I do to help them to get there?
And how have you been successful, Tom, once a family realizes this, the matriarch and patriarch, and helping them to really lean into that and perhaps be more intentional to think about the faith legacy they're leaving?
Yeah, well, part of it is I ask permission and get permission generally to talk to their kids. So, and a lot of times, you know, kids can be anywhere from 2 years old to 40 years old. So mostly with adult children, when I get to talk about adult children, and by the way, if you think about that terminology, adult children is an oxymoron. They're either adults or they're children. And the question is, how are you treating them? Are you treating them as adults or are you treating them as children? But in the conversations I have with the kids, I just ask them a lot of questions the same way I do with their parents, not so much along the areas of those five points that we mentioned earlier, but just about how they're doing in life. You know, how are you happy with what you're doing? How are you doing financially? How are you doing relationally? Who are your friends? What are the things that are influencing you the most? What about your work? What are you interested in? What would you really like to do? If money was not an object, what would you like to do? So those kinds of questions to really get to know the kids a little bit better, and that enables me to help the family. For example, I did it with one family. They had four kids, and so I got permission and actually met with each one of the four kids, and they were all married, so I got to meet with them and their spouses and asked them a lot of questions, got to know them pretty well. And then I went back to mom and dad and said, hey, you guys need to know you've done a great job with your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, these kids are pretty solid. You don't need to worry about the fact that your money's going to ruin them, because they're going to seek to steward it just like you have sought to do that during your life. So it was really encouragement to the couple to know that, yes, somebody who's totally outside of our family has been able to observe our kids and is confident that they're going to do and be good stewards just like we have sought to be.
Yeah. Tom, what about a family that realizes their kids are not there spiritually, or maybe they're not mature financially? How can they, after they identify that, begin to lean into that to prepare them so they can either make a decision not to leave money, which could further accelerate their move away from the Lord, or perhaps help to make progress in that direction between now and their death?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself the question, if you're leaving money to a child, what is your hope that that money will do? What I do with a lot of clients, I have them write an introduction to their documents where they put in writing what their hopes and dreams are for their kids. But, you know, depending upon the age of the kids, if the kids are still in the house, you still have an ability to influence them. Once they move outside the house, it becomes a lot more difficult. But you can also do things that would benefit them. So I've had clients that have taken their kids, when they weren't strong in their faith, on a mission trip. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go build a building, or we're going to build a church, or we're going to build an orphanage for people. And sometimes just getting people exposed out of their element of, confidence into a place where they see the needs of others, it just really begins to open up their mind.
How would you counsel those parents that really feel like when they answer that question, what is my hope, that they won't be able to accomplish that by giving the inheritance, that it's actually going to accelerate a lifestyle that's moving quickly away from the Lord, and yet they're conflicted because they feel like that's just part of their responsibility to leave money to the kids? How do you help them think through that difficult decision?
Well, I tell people that there are three myths in estate planning. First myth is I'm never going to die. We know that's not true. Right. The second myth is I've got the highest priced attorneys in town. Certainly my estate is in good shape. I say, well, that could be 50% correct. You might have the highest priced attorneys in town. And then third is that it's my kids' money. I said, God didn't give it to your kids. He gave it to you. And so if you're going to give it to your kids, you need to seek to make sure that they're going to steward it well. And if they're not, then really what it comes down to is a conversation. I tell people there is going to be a family meeting. It's just a matter of whether you're going to be there or not. So if you can begin to talk to them, and even, you know, if you're not inclined to leave money to them, you just need to tell them. And you need to tell them why. And I would not disinherit any children. But I might leave different amounts to different ones depending upon how I feel that they're going to be able to manage it.
You and I both know Ron Blue well, and he says, if you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely. People often struggle with that, that I need to treat all my kids the same, and yet you're supporting that idea that that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true, but communication is really important. I just think what happens in a lot of families is people don't talk about money. So the kids don't know how much money mom and dad has. They don't know what they're going to do with it. They assume they're going to leave it all to them, but they don't know. And then if you think about it from another perspective, Rob, is that when most people leave money to their kids, it's when they die, which they may be 80, 90 years old. That means your kids are 60 or 70. You need to be thinking about what do my kids need when they're 20 and 30 and 40? And if I have the ability, what can I do to help them now as opposed to waiting to when I'm gone?
This is great. And Tom, what's the benefit of all of this when you watch a family implement what you're talking about?
Well, for me, it's a lot of fun just to see the joy that they experience and the peace that they have because they've talked with their family. And quite honestly, I've done a lot of family meetings where we get these things out on the table and the kids get to speak in an environment where they feel comfortable. And then I actually get to mediate that conversation.
We've only scratched the surface, but Tom, great insights. Thanks for stopping by today.
You're welcome.
My friend Tom Conway has been our guest today. You can learn a lot more about planning your family legacy at legacybydesign.co. That's legacybydesign.co. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Arc. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Arc Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Arc.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers. This is what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Boy, what a great conversation with my friend Tom Conway. You know, the big idea there, as we think about wealth transfer, it's the last stewardship decision we will make. And the big question is the next steward chosen and prepared? That's right. There's only three places we can leave the wealth that God entrusts to us during our lifetimes. We can leave it to the government. We certainly want to avoid that. We can leave it to heirs, or we can leave it to ministry or charity. So have we selected the next steward of God's resources? And not only have they been selected, but are they prepared? And especially when it comes to our heirs, are they prepared to handle God's money? Is it going to accelerate their life or lifestyle away from God? Potentially. Could it be a barrier to them coming to Christ? Or is it going to help them flourish and perhaps even support the work of God's kingdom? We want to think about that well in advance. And I think this big idea of we can love our children equally but treat them uniquely. Tom discouraged disinheriting our kids, but leaving differing amounts, he says, is perfectly appropriate. Well, that's a question we all need to answer between us and the Lord through a lot of prayer. And keep in mind, it can change over time as your kids or your heirs' situations change. So hopefully this has been thought-provoking. Let me just offer one other thought on this, and that is if you're wrestling with some of these conversations and questions around wealth transfer, the very best book, in my opinion, on this topic, not the mechanics, the legal instruments and mechanical how-tos, but really the biblical worldview, the questions, the big ideas you need to wrestle through, particularly related to inheritance, is a book called Splitting Heirs, Splitting, H-E-I-R-S, Splitting Heirs, from my friend Ron Blue. Check it out. You can buy it wherever you buy books. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got a few lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Illinois. Ted, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Good morning, anyway. And actually, your previous guest had kind of pertains to my question. I'm debating, should I get a will or should I get a trust?
Yeah, you know, it really is going to come down to what you're trying to accomplish. And at the end of the day, even though we can talk about some general principles, at the end of the day, I think you need to visit with a godly estate attorney to talk through your situation. You know, there's a couple of factors to consider. Often, folks who use a trust, an irrevocable trust, a revocable trust, it's for the purpose of avoiding probate, both the time, the complexity, the fact that it's a part of the public record, and the cost of probate, which can be several thousand dollars. I mean, when you put it all together, there's the court fees and the attorney's fees, potentially accounting fees. You might have some appraisals, executor fees, those types of things that can add up to several thousand dollars. Could be as much as 3 or even 5% or more of the estate. It's just all going to depend on the complexity of the estate and the size. But there's costs there. And those who choose a revocable trust want to avoid all of that. They want to avoid going through the probate court. So now the distribution of their assets happens outside of the public record. So it can be anonymous. It doesn't involve the courts. It can pass directly. There's a trustee that's involved that, based on the trust documents and how it's outlined, can pass the estate at various points based on triggering events. So the trustee could kick in, you know, prior to death if the grantor is incapacitated. The assets could stay in the trust beyond the grantor's life. And let's say there's minor children or a lifelong dependent. The assets could be distributed over time based on the child or children reaching a certain age or graduating from college. I mean, there's a whole host of opportunities there that a simple will is not going to allow that you would get in a trust. But in exchange for that, the trust is going to cost you perhaps a couple of $1,000s to set up. There's some work involved in retitling assets in the name of the trust. And then you have trust administration fees, which can be, you know, 1 to 1.5% a year, again, depending on the complexity and the size. So I think at the end of the day, the cost is probably a wash in a very simple situation, just having a will, even going through probate, you know, with the probate costs probably is going to be a little less expensive in a very simple situation versus establishing a trust. But at the end of the day, I think you need to decide what is going to meet my needs and, you know, help allow an attorney to help you determine that. But give me your thoughts on all that, Ted.
Well, I already talked to an attorney, and she said the same thing. It was three times as much for the trust. But
yeah.
I remember you saying before that if you have a will, even though you have a will and you own a house, it could go to probate, or it will go to probate. So that's why I went, after I heard your segment,
yeah,
that's why I went and talked to an attorney, and she said the same thing, but...
Yeah, so the upfront costs are definitely more for the revocable trust. The question is just what are those back-end costs, and you've got to compare the trust administration versus the probate costs, which, again, for a very simple situation could just be a few hundred dollars. A more complex situation could be more. So there is going to be cost in going through probate. At the very least, you've got court fees and, you know, a few other fees, and then depending upon what's needed, it will build on top of that. But again, I think in a real simple situation, you're probably going to end up with less expense by just having a simple will and allowing the probate court and your executor to handle that. But again, it comes down to what are we trying to accomplish? How complex is our situation? And is there a need for a trust? And it sounds like the attorney really didn't see one. Is that right?
No, she actually... My biggest thing was, like, with the probate going through court, and, you know, that takes time from the older kid, you know, my kids are grown. It takes time from the kids. They have to take off work and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, the executor should be able to handle all of that for you, but it does slow it down a little bit. So perhaps, you know, that's something to consider. I think at the end of the day, she can help you answer those questions. I would just lay out really clearly what you're trying to accomplish and what you want to avoid in this entire process. And then she can help you determine the instrument that's going to help you accomplish that most effectively. Hope that is helpful to you, Ted. We appreciate your call. Charles, Russ, Lorenzo, we're coming your way right after this break. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles and themes in Scripture around money, God's money, to our lives so we can manage it effectively as faithful stewards. We've got a few lines open today, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions. In just a moment, we'll be talking to Lorenzo in Texas, Russ in Wyoming. But let's head to Charles in Georgia. Sir, how can I help you? Hi, Charles. Go right ahead.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. My question is... I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to get right with the government as far as my taxes are concerned, and I've been seeing a lot of the commercials about from these companies who supposedly will help you or be an intermediary with you. For you with the IRS and lower your potential tax debt. I Googled it online, those companies, and I read an article who said that, and it said that they would advise me to go see a tax attorney versus using one of those companies.
Yeah.
My issue is I live in a small town here in rural central Georgia, and there isn't a tax attorney in my immediate area. You'll probably ask this question, so I'm gonna go ahead and give this information. I'm a recovering addict, and I've been delivered for 24 years now, but for 20 years, of course, I was in active addiction and wasn't responsible with my finances to anybody, especially the Lord. And then I got saved.
Yes.
and stopped doing drugs and gave my life to Christ. And wow. Now I'm a substance abuse counselor and a therapist, and I mean, God has done great things through my life. I just never, you know, I went through all those years without paying taxes, and it's always been a thorn in my spirit about, you know, you really need to take care of this. You really need to take care of this. Well, the thorn got real sharp about a month ago, so I really want to get on the right side of this. Because render to Caesar's what Caesar's and to God what God. I'm a faithful tither. Yeah. and teach my kids to tithe. But I can't give an example to my kids about being faithful to the honoring the government because I don't do it. Wow. And I want to fix that.
Yeah. Well, Charles, first of all, thank you for sharing your story, for your transparency. I am so delighted that you have given your life to Jesus. That is the most important decision you will ever make in your life, being reconciled to the Father by placing your trust in Christ and what he did for us on the cross through his death and resurrection, which paid the penalty for our sin. And you're now free indeed as a child of God and forgiven of sin. And that's a position we all need to be in our fallen state. And the fact that you have now been victorious over this addiction for the past 24 years, that is incredible. And we celebrate that with you, my friend. And so, listen, we all have mistakes from the past, and we will, and we can leave all those at the foot of the cross and ask the Lord to forgive us, and we can live in obedience and faithfulness to the Lord with what he's entrusted to us. And I appreciate that's your heart's desire, not only for you to do the right thing before the Lord, but also to be a witness to your kids. And that's incredible. Are these companies that offer to do kind of tax repair or you know, help you work through your taxes and back taxes legitimate? Some of them are. Many of them are scammers. Some, you know, are legitimate, but they'll charge you a lot of money. I'd rather you, even perhaps in a rather than using a tax attorney, just use a CPA who has some experience in representing taxpayers before the IRS. Bottom line is, you can do this yourself, or you can have somebody mediate for you. I think it's probably helpful to have somebody mediate for you. This is not complicated, and the IRS will be ready and willing to work with you or work with whoever you designate to represent you through either an offer in compromise, if you have the ability to settle a debt at a much lower amount, or to get you on an installment plan. Your desire to get caught up in that is something that will be met with their willingness to work with you. So the good news is you should be able to get on track in terms of at least having an agreement, and then as long as it fits into your budget and that'll be a part of the process, then you can stay on that plan and you'll know that you and the IRS have worked out a plan together and that you're current and in good standing with making good on that. And so I think you'll feel a lot better once that's in place. And again, it doesn't have to be a tax attorney. I would probably just contact a CPA. Given your situation, I'd like to connect you with at least one CPA to consider. This is somebody who has extensive experience in representing folks like you before the IRS. He's a believer. He's got a ministry heart. And there's just somebody that came to mind immediately as you were talking. And I think he'd be delighted to work with you. You, of course, would be free to go find somebody else. And again, rather than working with one of these companies or even a tax attorney, I'd just call a CPA. But if you stay on the line, we'll get your information. But the bottom line here is, Charles, you absolutely can do this. God will honor this. I'm confident you can get on a plan that you'll feel really good about and fits into your budget. And I'm so delighted to hear the path that you're on.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate you connecting me with that. And that thorn is a little less sharper right now.
I'm so delighted to hear that. You're welcome. You stay on the line. We'll get your information, and I'll get somebody in touch with you real soon. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for your story today. I know it's been an encouragement to me, and I'm sure many, many more. To Wyoming. Hey, Russ, how can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rob. We have three teenagers. And so we expect to have probably three in college at the same time.
Wow.
So
yeah.
My question is, with FAFSA, the federal student aid, I think our income is probably too high. Are there minimums for that? And are you required for even private scholarships to still fill out that form?
Yeah, you're going to want to fill it out. That's going to be the gateway to about $150 billion in college grants, work study funds, federal student loans. Now, even if you aren't going to qualify for need-based aid in the expected family contribution that comes out of that, is you know, the full amount, and because you make too much money, you're still going to want to get it done. A lot of the scholarships that are available will use the FAFSA to determine your eligibility, including your citizenship. So your ability to establish residency and citizenship comes through that FAFSA, and so they rely on that. For instance, my son is about to go off to college, and for him to be able to claim the scholarship here in the state of Georgia called the Zell Miller Scholarship, even though we can't get the need-based aid, he had to get the FAFSA in order to be eligible for that. So I would just say, absolutely, just as an automatic part of this process, I'd get it in because it will be used in other ways other than need-based aid. Does that make sense?
It does. I really appreciate that.
Yep. You're welcome. Hey, all the best to you, Russ. Thanks for being on the program today. And folks, we'll be right back with much more in our final segment on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times of Radio, I talked to Dr. Mark Hitchcock about praying for Armageddon. A new film suggesting fundamentalist Christians are longing for Armageddon, are influencing political parties, are blind followers of Israel, and much more. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Every day, FaithFi is working to meet people right where they are. Through our national radio program, app, and website, we're helping people put their faith in God and not in money and possessions. And we're encouraging and equipping Christians to have a passionate pursuit for sacrificially living and giving the money entrusted to them. If you believe in and have benefited from FaithFi, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Learn more about the FaithFi patrons membership at faithfi.com and click Give.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Still thinking about that Carl from Charles. What a blessing to hear from someone who was caught up in sin, an addict for 20 years, surrendered his life to Christ. Christ has done a work in his life. He's now free from that addiction, 24 years free from that addiction, now wanting to be found faithful in serving the Lord, including in this area of finance, making amends for the challenges and mistakes he made in the past, including with the IRS, getting that on track and using that as a witness for his kids. I mean, that's what the Christian life is all about, surrendering our lives to Jesus and the redemption that is available, and then pursuing the Lord in every facet of our lives, including this area of finance. What an encouragement to us today. Hey, we're taking your calls and questions today. We've got here in our last segment time for a few more, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Lorenzo, you've been incredibly patient. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob. I just learned something yesterday. I know everybody calls in and they like to, we want to keep our credit scores up. But just found out that the new Inflation Act has passed. Oh, see my drone noise? Okay.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. You're talking about this new thing that's starting May the 1st that's going to put a surcharge on responsible credit folks for mortgages. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. So so if you got a score over 740, yeah, you're going to pay a little extra. And how does that play with like if you're going to buy a car or something else, you want to try to keep your credit score high, but then
you're going to kind of get punished if you do, if you're looking to buy a house. So just wanted to hear your take on that and didn't know if everybody knew about that.
Yeah. Well, it's something that is absolutely, I mean, we're praying this is going to change and not go through. If you haven't heard about this, I mean, basically, there's something called a loan level price adjustment that basically, affects folks who have poor credit, where they end up paying more to offset the risk that the that the mortgage company is taking by extending a loan to you. Well, they're trying to reduce the cost of those adjustments for borrowers who have poor credit. Well, that's going to create a lot more expense, and they're offsetting that by passing some of that savings on in the form of a higher fee to those who have good credit. So if you have a good credit score over 680, you have a down payment of 15 or 20%, you're actually going to be punished for that to be able to subsidize low credit worthy people. That's a terrible idea. I mean, this is similar to what led to the crisis of 2008 and 2009, where they were encouraging banks to give loans to people who were not credit worthy. This is slightly different, but it's a simple situation where they're, passing that on to folks who have been responsible. So you listen to Faith and Finance, you have your finances in order, you have a good credit score, you're saving diligently for a down payment. Rather than getting a benefit, you're actually going to be punished for that wise decision making. There's a couple of Republicans that have issued letters to the Federal Housing Finance Authority to tell them to reverse course. We're hopeful that they'll do that. This is supposed to take effect May the 1st. They've indicated that if there is not a reversal on this, that there will be legislation coming from both the House and from the House on this matter to prevent the Federal Housing Finance Authority from putting this in place. Basically, this is an extra tax on people who have been responsible with their credit. So what would I do about it? Well, we need to watch very closely how this plays out, number one. Number two, I certainly would never try to jeopardize my credit because of these antics that are going on. I would still act responsibly, be a wise manager of God's resources. And let's see how this plays out. This is not going to go quietly into the night. There's a lot of folks who are very concerned about this move on the part of the Biden administration. So we'll just have to keep a close eye on it. We'll certainly keep you updated here about these unprecedented changes to mortgage fees that will be impacting borrowers here very, very soon, unless a change is made. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, though, Lorenzo. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's see. Let's head to Texas. Lalu, go ahead.
Hello, Rob. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes. So I have the situation. My uncle-in-law, he came to this country sometime in 82. He came to school. And then after school, he got a job. Unfortunately, he was not able to regularize his immigration status. So he started working. He never got a green card. He never got his citizenship. He must have worked here for close to about 20 years. He contributed to the Social Security scheme. We came into his life some 5-4 years ago. He became sick. Things got really sour for him. And he retired. He had to retire during the COVID years. And we've tried to help him access the Social Security because he has about 40-something thousand. His employer contributed another 40-something. So he's got about 80-something thousand in the firm, and it is stuck because one of the requirements will be you got to be a citizen or possibly have a green card. Mm-hmm. And we've been trying to see how we can help him. I don't know if you have any ideas for us.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. Have you contacted or has he the Social Security Administration just to ask about possible remedies for this, given that he has been paying into Social Security?
Yes, the Social Security has contacted him all the while. One of the requirements was getting an ID. We were able to figure that out. We got him an ID, but this seems to be like a major requirement, and there's no way around that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have someone readily available that I could refer to you. I mean, generally, I would say only non-citizens authorized to work in the U.S. Can get a Social Security number, and you know, those are used to report a person's wages to the government and then determine their eligibility for Social Security benefits. I think, you know, the key for you is to find someone who can help you navigate the process to determine whether there is a way for him to, you know, once he were to get gain citizenship or a green card, to then retroactively have access to the benefits that were paid in on his behalf as a part of his work life. Let's do this. I'm going to ask my team to get your information, and I'll have one of our certified Christian financial counselors contact you. Okay. Just to see if we could provide some resources as to where you might go, who you might talk to see if you can explore this a bit further. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You stay on the line. We'll get your information and get right back to you here very soon. Well, folks, you know, we've covered a lot of ground today. I think the big idea that's sticking out to me as I think about handling money God's way is just this idea that we want to be found faithful. You know, we all have made plenty of mistakes throughout our financial lives. There's things we wish we could go back and do over. And yet, that's what it's all about in the Christian journey, is to say, you know what, those mistakes can all be laid at the foot of the cross. And we can find forgiveness of sin, and we can now set a course that says, I want to be faithful and obedient over the rest of my life in service to the Lord. And that's going to include my finances, because, you know, so often we might give our lives to Jesus, but we tend to hold back on this area of finance. Maybe we hold it with a clenched fist and say, you know what, Lord, you can have everything, but this portion, no, that's mine. And the reality is, it's not. If we look at we look to God's word, we realize that God owns everything. The cattle on a thousand hills. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And it also says the power to make wealth, to create wealth, actually comes from the Lord. Your ability to work, your gifts and talents, your ability to produce any kind of income is a direct provision from the Lord, and He allows us to do that. And so if we understand that and we start from that proper place, then we'll understand the only natural response is to say, God, I'm going to surrender everything to you, because it's all yours in the first place. And I'm going to see everything I have as a gracious gift from you, including my ability to earn a living and the talents and the breath in my lungs and, you know, all of it. It comes from you. And now, once I surrender my life to Jesus, the rest of my life is about stewardship. How can I be found faithful? It's obedience to opportunity. What has God given me, and how can I be faithful in using that? And that includes my time and my relationships, and I'm a steward of God's word, and my talents and abilities, and yes, my treasure, my finances, God's money entrusted to me, because now I'm placed in a position of having a really high calling. And that is, I'm a money manager for the King of Kings. And so if a steward is going to be effective in managing the master's money, the steward absolutely has to know the heart of the master, because you're never going to be able to manage God's money without knowing His heart. Well, where do we go to find that? Well, we go to Scripture. We go to God's word. We pull out these big themes in Scripture that we're to see ourselves as entrusted. We're not to pursue worldly wealth and have a heart posture of just more, because that's going to become an idol in our lives. And that we should be generous and hold it loosely. And yeah, we should provide for the needs of ourselves and also others. And that giving is the good life. And we should live with contentment and faithfulness. And we should see money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And we should be focused on the world to come, the eternal, the hope of heaven. Because when we invest in the temporal, the here and now, well, that's going to burn up. That's not going to last. And so let's invest in the things that last, and let's live with an eternal mindset and operate through a biblical worldview. That's the only way to live the life that God intended for all of us. I hope this program has helped you do that, maybe just a little bit more today, at the very least giving you a few things to think about. Hey, let me say thanks to my team. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And would you come back and join us tomorrow? Lord willing, we'll be here to do it all over again. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.